Okay, my friends, we are on day 39. I had to squeeze two in to today on Erev Yom Kippur. It's called Reuniting the King and the Queen. And in this chapter, we speak about this challenge really is about taking responsibility. We have this whole Al-Chait, all of these confessionals, the Asham that we clench our fists, we tap our chests lightly. I'm going to actually post a pre-Yom Kippur video that I did about the litany of sins and wrongdoings that we've committed throughout the year. I spoke a little about the tune that we use, but that's not what I want to share now. What I want to share now is that by saying these confessionals and expressing remorse for our mistakes and our sins, that we take responsibility for our own actions. We could always say that, you know, there was a reason for this, there was an excuse for that. I told the story of the late and great Rabbi Jonathan Sacks when he was meeting the late and great, his mentor and teacher, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And Rabbi Sacks at the time was a university student at Cambridge, and he was traveling to visit his aunt in L.A. When he landed in New York, he tried to get a meeting with the Rebbe before continuing on to California, but he heard that the meeting would be impossible. But he's now with his aunt in California. He gets a call on Saturday night that a meeting could be arranged. It wasn't enough time to book a flight. This is Rabbi Sacks when he's quite young. He gets on a Greyhound bus, spends the next 72 hours riding a bus to meet the Rebbe at 770 Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn. Rabbi Sacks had all of these deep theological and philosophical questions he was going to ask the Rebbe. And when he gets there, as he's about to start, the Rebbe looks at him and says, "How many Jewish students are there with you in Cambridge?" And he knew that he was a student at Cambridge. "How many of them are involved in Jewish life? What are you doing to bring your fellow Jewish students at Cambridge closer to their Judaism?" And Rabbi Sacks was very, very upset. He didn't travel all this distance to give an update about Jewish life in Cambridge. So he tried to kind of like put it off. And he said, I remember him telling the story. He says, "I did the English thing. We English can reconstruct sentences like no one else can. We can construct complex excuses for doing nothing better than anyone else on earth. So I started by saying, in the situation in which I currently find myself," that's the way Rabbi Sacks started responding to the Rebbe. But the Rebbe wouldn't let him finish the sentence, and he cut him off and says, "Nobody finds themselves in a situation. You put yourself in a situation. And if you put yourself in one situation, you can put yourself into a different one." And that's basically what we're doing on Yom Kippur. We are not making excuses. We are not giving quote-unquote reasons. Hashem knows all the reasons. God knows what tempted us, or why we were weak in a particular area of our life, or why we were negligent, or why we did blatantly, intentionally something wrong. God knows all the excuses that we have that maybe we give ourselves so we can live with ourselves. The most important thing on Yom Kippur is to be honest and to take responsibility and to say, "Hashem, I've never claimed that I was perfect. I have sinned. I've made mistakes, but I want to do better. I want to improve. I want to become the best version of myself in the coming year." And we use the Aleph Bet when we say the Ashamnu, the Bagadnu, the Gazalnu. I'm focusing on this prayer because it's said 10 times over the holiday. And we have five prayer services tonight, the Marav, the evening service, starts with Kol Nidre, tomorrow Shacharis, Musaf, Mincha, and then Ne'ilah. And in each prayer service, we have the Ashamnu, the Bagadnu, the confessional. And we do it privately in our silent devotion each time, and then we repeat it in the repetition with the chazan or the cantor. So it's 10 times. It's really the focus of our prayer. So I'm spending a lot of time on this, and we're using the letters and the Hebrew words of the Hebrew alphabet to go through from the giving of the Torah, those where those words come from, to arouse memories of our initial closeness with Hashem at our wedding at Har Sinai. And it's a very, very beautiful idea. The Jewish novelist Shai Agnon offered this parable of a king who became displeased with his queen, and he banishes her from the palace. And the queen missed the king terribly, yearned to be accepted. So the queen takes the violin that they used earlier at their wedding, and she plays this beautiful melody for the king as she lists her wrongdoings. That's what we're going to be doing tonight. I might share this evening or tomorrow. It's a beautiful way of explaining the Ashamnos, but it's all about taking responsibility and then bringing it before Hashem and saying, "I know I can do better. Give me a chance in the coming year." May all of our prayers and our fasting and our sincerity and just being genuine and honest and straight with Hashem, of course it means being straight with ourselves, serve as a zechut for all of us, for Gemar Chatima Tova, should a conclusion of inscription in the Book of Good Life for us individually, for our families, for all of Klal Yisrael, for the entire Jewish people. May we see a good year of peace, in Israel. May the IDF continue to be successful on the battlefield, and may this be as fast as possible and bring home every one of our hostages. Mar Chatima Tova, my friends.